Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
How many hunters do we have in the crowd? Very few, because they're all out hunting. It's hunting season. How long did it take you, if you're a hunter, how long did it take you to learn how to field process and pack out an elk or a deer? Did you get it in one shot? Probably not. How many fishermen we have? How long did it take you to learn how to clean a fish where you could just do it and you knew what you're doing? Took a little bit, probably. Maybe some of those, anyone in drama, you like acting, drama. Did it take you some time to memorize line for the role, for the play that you were in, for the production you were in? Of course it did. If you were in choir, did it take you some time to memorize the music, to memorize the words, to memorize the song that you were going to perform? For those who play football, did it take you some time to learn the playbook? You know, for the rest of us, maybe some of us says, hey, I don't hunt, I don't fish, I don't do anything. But how many of you add? I think that's everybody. How long did it take you to learn the addition table and subtraction and division and multiplication? You know, 2 plus 2 is 5, 6. Oh boy, you need to work on your flashcards this afternoon. We have some wise guys in the crowd. Yeah, it took you some time to learn these valuable skills. It's not just one and done where you do it once and I've got it, it's done, it's all over. No, there's repetition, there's practice, there's study, there's rehearsal. And friends, in the same way, that is what we need to do if we want to effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. When we talk about the topic of witnessing, of sharing our faith, sharing the gospel, a lot of us are just like, oh my, I can't do that. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. That's not me. I can't do that. But here's the thing. I want you to think about this. Hunting, fishing, math, football, any athletics, any kind of music or drama, do they have eternal significance? No. Unless they're being done as a ministry. But how about sharing the gospel? That has eternal significance. And I believe when Jesus says, you shall be witnesses, we can't be a witness if we don't know how to clearly communicate the message of good news that Jesus Christ came to give his life to a lost and dying world. And this morning, as we wrap up our salt series, where we've been talking about where Jesus said, Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. That means you're to be active. You're to take initiative. You are to be a change agent for the kingdom of God and for Christ in our world. For us to actively do that, we need to know how to clearly communicate the gospel message. If we do all the things that we've talked about the past few weeks, but we don't know how to communicate the gospel message, then we are not going to effectively be salt. Now, you might say, I don't know how to do this. Friends, in your notes today, in your bulletin, there is an insert. You can pull it out. I want you to take it out. This here is a one-sheet manual on how to witness, okay? We're giving you really everything you need right here. We're going to be talking about this stuff today because we want to equip you. One of the roles of pastors is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, and that includes witnessing. God wants you to be a witness, to be salt and light. So we're going to help you do that today. And I encourage you to take the things that we learned this morning and practice them, study them, memorize them, rehearse them. It might seem funny, but you did it for music, you did it for math, you did it for athletics or hunting or fishing. As you do this, and maybe it's just taking 5 minutes a day standing in front of a mirror, because in a mirror, you get, you kind of practice. How many ever did public speaking and your teacher said, stand in front of a mirror and give your speech in the mirror, huh? Yeah, you do that. That's how you become an effective public speaker. Maybe you say, I was just trying to make it through the class so I could pass, okay? Well, God wants you to be able to pass in witnessing. Practice these things even just 5 minutes a day. If you do that in 1 week, that's 35 minutes. Say you take Sunday as a day of rest, okay? That's a half hour. At the end of 2 weeks, it's an hour. Your math is coming into play. You did your flashcards. At the end of a month, you've got 2 hours. At the end of a year, 12 times 2, you will have spent 24 hours an entire day memorizing how to share the plan of salvation with just 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day not only can change your life, it can change someone else's life for an eternal future. So I encourage you, make a commitment today. Say, God, help me. With your help, I will learn the gospel so I can be a witness. Now, as we get going today, I want to share, I want to tap into your powers of observation, okay? I realize on a Sunday morning, that might not be too high because you're not used to doing that, but I want you to take a look at two Bible verses up on the screen. These verses are part of what's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, and then we're going to show you Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And what I want you to do is I'm going to look for two common words. Skip conjunctions and prepositions, okay? Look for two common words. Here's Matthew. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, all right? Let's go to Mark. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, kind of flip back and forth between the two of those there. What are the two common words in those verses? Okay, all, and I heard someone else say one. Go, that's right. Go and all. Here's the thing. The term all means everybody. Go into all the world. All people matter to God. It's not just Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter, but it's red, brown, yellow, green, orange, purple, what, you know, what, all lives matter. God wants the gospel to go to every single person on the planet. And he says, go. You see, the term go means that it is our obligation to go. They're not obligated to come. Yes, we rejoice when someone who's not a Christian yet walks in the doors and attends our service. We rejoice in that. But friends, our command is to go into all the world. That's what salt does. Salt takes the initiative. Salt is active. It's not passive, sitting in a church seat waiting for someone to come in. No, salt means I am going and I am taking the good news of Jesus Christ. Randy Hurst said in his book, Response Evangelism, everyone, our friends and family members, our neighbors and co-workers, and every person we meet will spend eternity in heaven or hell. And every person should be given an adequate witness of the gospel and the opportunity to make a decision concerning Christ's offer of salvation. Some people say, but you know what? I witness with my life, okay? I witness with my life, my character, and how I treat other people, and I go to church and I do these good. That's how I witness. I don't do a verbal witness. But friends, if we only have a witness with our life and not a witness with our words, people will not get saved. The Apostle Paul taught us this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We got to be that someone who preaches, who shares, who communicates the gospel message. People will not figure out the gospel on their own. They just won't. We have got to tell them. We have got to tell them, okay? So, this morning, I want to share with you four words. These are four primary points of the gospel, okay? If you can memorize these four words and then kind of some things that what is included under them, you can share the gospel. How many think you can memorize four words? Okay? That's maybe about 30% of the congregation. I could have swore your IQ was a lot higher than that. Come on, who can memorize four words? Help me out here. Yeah, all right. okay, I need my volunteers to come on down, take their place on the stage. I've got 8 kids. Come on up, gang. Come on up. Take your place. You know where you're going. And my daughter Elise is going to hand out some signs to those that are holding some signs this morning. We practice before church. All right. Now, the first word in the gospel that you need to memorize, Jonas has it here. Go ahead and flip it around, is, say it with me, God. Now, we're going to get all the senses going today. We've got the verbal, we've got the audio, we need the kinesthetic, so we're going to give you some hand signals. If you can memorize these hand signals with these words, maybe it'll help you catch them. And Anaya here, she is our hand signal for the term God. What is the hand signal? Can you show it to us? Okay, everybody imitate her. Hand up in the sky, hand up in the air, like you just don't care. Okay. Anaya, why do we point up? Because it reminds us. Hang on. I forgot the mic. We got to get this on tape. Okay.
It reminds us of heaven.
Reminds us of heaven. And God wants everyone in heaven, doesn't he? Yeah. So, hand in the air for God. All right? You're doing great. You're doing awesome. Okay. Our next point this morning, Trayson has it, is us, all right? And Riley here, Riley has the hand signal for the word us. Go ahead and show people. Okay, she's taking her finger, she's going around in a circle. Everybody do that. Don't hit your neighbor in the eyeball or get it caught in their nose, okay? Don't do that, okay? Riley, why is your hand going around in circles?
Because it reminds us that everyone around the world has sinned.
That's right. Everyone all around the world has sinned. So let's rehearse. First there's God, then there's us. Our third term, the primary point of the gospel, Tanner has it here, and it is, say it loud, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And Deira, she has the hand sign for Jesus. Go ahead and show us. Everybody, hands out to the side. All right, Deira, why are your hands out to the side for Jesus?
Because he died on the cross for us.
He died on the cross. His hands were nailed to the cross. So Jesus is out. His hands are out. So we've got God, we've got us, and we've got Jesus. Hey, did you see that? Us goes to Jesus. So if you can remember, first it starts with God, then it comes to us, and then you got Jesus. I mean, hey, you've got 3 of the words down. You're doing great. Our last word is the letter, or the word, you could say either way, it's the word you. Aniela has that, you. And Liam is going to show us the hand sign for that. Go ahead and show us the sign. Okay, Liam is pointing at a lot of different people. Liam, why are you pointing at people? Why does that symbolize you?
Because each of us have a choice.
Yes, each of us. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. So let's practice this all together. We've got God, us, Jesus, you. Again, God, us, Jesus, you. Okay. Can you get my volunteer hand? Grab the stands, put the sign on the stands. We're going to keep these signs up here so that you can keep them in your mind as we go throughout this message today, because we do want to talk a little bit about that, but these 4 words can help you in sharing the gospel. God. All right, you're awesome. You're great. Thanks, gang. You did an awesome job. Couldn't have done that without you. Let's talk about the first character. And by the way, these are in your notes, so you really don't have to write things down. I wanted you to be able to soak this in. When you talk about God with people, there's really 3 things to keep in mind. First, God is loving. He loves us, he cares about us, and he wants a relationship with us. God is also holy. The term holy, it means absolutely perfect. God is without sin, he's perfect. And then God is also just. meaning that if someone breaks the law, God has to punish that. You think of a just judge in our society. If a criminal breaks a law, if a murder takes place, for him just to say, it doesn't matter, and he excuses all the murderers, we'd say that's an unjust judge. We would say, get rid of him. And we want our judges to execute justice. Well, God is a judge, and so he is just. He's loving, he's holy, he's just. Those are things that you remember as you're presenting in the gospel, and you can expound on them, okay? The second point is us. And what this refers to is all of us. At first, we were created good, okay? We were created good in God's image, but then we rebelled and we became sinful. And when we rebelled, now each of us deserves judgment because sin, this is what sin is, it's breaking the law of God. One term is it misses the mark. It's like an archery sign. And when you aim at the target, you miss it. God, remember, God is holy. So the standard is God's holiness, it's perfection. None of us are perfect. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, we are separated from God. It says the wages of sin is death, okay? It's physical death and spiritual death. And here's the really bad news. We can't do anything about it to change our condition. No amount of good works by us changes our condition, all right? That's where the third term comes in, and that's Jesus. Jesus took our penalty upon himself. Jesus died in my place. Jesus died in your place because he loves us. And because of Jesus dying for our sin, we can go to heaven. Now, couple things you got to realize, and this varies with every person you talk to, because some people come from a very religious background. Some people have no background at all. Some people, their religious background is distorted. So there's a few questions as you talk about Jesus. Look in your notes. Letter A, who is Jesus? First of all, Jesus is God, okay? Jesus is God. And because of that, because of our sin, because Jesus is God, Jesus came up with a plan to take care of our sin. He knows how to take care of sin because he's God, but then Jesus is also a man, okay? You could say he's 100% God, he's 100% man, he was a 200% person. He's not part God, part man, he's 100% God and man. And Jesus came to earth to live a sinless life. He executed the plan. He died on the cross for our sin. That was the plan. Jesus did it. Now, why did Jesus die? This is important. He died to be a life saver. Okay, write that in your notes. He died to be a life saver, not a life improver. Okay? There's an important difference, because this is what happens sometimes as we share salvation. We say, you know, when you come to Jesus, you get abundant life, you get eternal life, God loves you, and there's joy, and there's hope, there's peace, there's encouragement, God answers prayer, there's blessings. Now, how many know that those things are true and right? That's all true. But here's the thing. If you present Jesus as a life improver, then what happens when a person encounters problems? You see, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus guaranteed for us to go through problems. And I have seen this happen. When Jesus is presented as a life improver, when problems come along, someone says, well, I thought God loved me. If God loved me, why is this happening to me? If God really cared, he wouldn't let this horrible thing happen. He wouldn't let my family member die, or let me go through a divorce, or a loved one get addicted to drugs, or me lose my job, or these bad things, whatever it might be. And people blame God when we present Jesus as a life improver instead of a life saver. I'm going to give you an illustration. I've probably used this before. If you know it, just hang on with me. But let's say we have two people. They're going to get on an airplane, separate airplanes, and we give them both parachutes, okay? We say to the first person, this parachute is going to improve your flight. It's going to make your flight better, okay? So they take it and they think, all right, I'm going to have a better flight. To the other person, we say, this parachute is going to save your life. At some time in your journey, the plane's going to go down. You got to jump. If you don't have this baby on, you're not going to make it. Okay? Two men, two identical parachutes, two planes, and they're going to go through the same situations. The first person, he gets on the plane with his parachute. He sits down in his seat, and he says, man, this is uncomfortable. This is really uncomfortable. My flight's not better yet. It hasn't improved. Hopefully, it'll get better as it goes along. The plane takes off, and as it does, it is like one of the worst takeoffs this guy has ever had on a plane. He gets sick. He gets queasy. He's saying, man, I can't wait till the flight gets better. The plane gets to cruising altitude. The sign says, you can go off and go to the bathroom. And he says, I think I need to go. I'm not feeling too good. So he gets up out of his seat. He begins to walk down the aisle. And as he does, the hatch opens up. The plane hits turbulence. The hatch opens up, whacks him in the head. Ow, that hurt. Man, he's frustrated. He says, man, I can't wait till this flight gets better. He goes to the bathroom. He comes back, and as he's walking, people are laughing, and he's going, man, what's so funny? What's the joke? And all of a sudden, he realizes they're laughing at him. And the reason is because he's the only person with the parachute on. And so now he's embarrassed. Why doesn't anyone else have a parachute? He hurry up. He goes to his seat, pulls out one of those awesome magazines the airline gives you, covers his face up. About this time, the flight attendant is serving beverages. And she asks people, what would you like? And the person sitting across from him next to the window says, I would like a cup of hot coffee. As she's serving the coffee, the plane hits turbulence. She spills the coffee on his lap, burning his lap, and this guy is ticked off. He says, this is the absolute worst flight I've ever been on. He gets up from his seat, takes his parachute off, throws it on the ground, and it says, never again will I wear that parachute. That's the life improver, okay? Let's take a look at the second gentleman. He is told, you need this parachute because you're going to have to jump. It's going to save your life. So he puts the parachute on, gets onto the plane, sits down in his seat, and he says, man, this is really uncomfortable, but not as uncomfortable as if the plane goes down and I die. I'm sure glad I've got my parachute. The plane takes off. It is the worst takeoff he has ever had in his entire life. And he's thinking to, and he's getting sick and queasy. He says, you know what? I believe the plane's going down after this takeoff. I'm sure glad I've got my parachute. Plane gets to cruising altitude. Sign goes off. He says, I got to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom, and on his way back, the plane hits turbulence. Cargo compartment opens up, whacks him in the head. Ow, man, my head. Man, that could have been it when the plane went down. Sure glad I've got my parachute. He goes to the restroom. He comes back. People are laughing. What's so funny? They're laughing at me. And he says, why don't they have parachutes? Don't they know the plane is going down? They're going to die? They know. Why didn't someone give them a parachute? Man, I'm glad someone gave me a parachute. He goes and he sits down in his seat. Flight attendant comes, serves hot beverages, cold beverages. The person next to him takes coffee. She spills it on his lap. He gets burned. He says, oh, that hurt. Oh, but I'm sure glad I got my parachute on. Man, if I don't have it on, I could have crashed and burned, and that's way worse than this. You have two men, the same planes, same situations, same scenarios, same parachutes, but two different outcomes. Why? Because one person was told, your parachute's going to make your flight better. And the other one says it's going to save your life. And friends, if we present Jesus Christ that he's going to make your life better, then when problems come, and problems will come, the enemy will see to that. It says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Will he find people who believe? If you thinking Jesus is going to make my life better and your life falls apart, you don't have any more faith. But if you've been told you're going to die someday, you're going to crash and burn, you're going to spend eternity in hell, but Jesus came to save you from that punishment of hell. When salvation is presented as a life saver, people will hang on to their faith no matter what, because they realize this life is not about what happens on the plane. It's what happens to me after the plane goes down. When I die, that's when salvation really kicks in. Yes, there are blessings and benefits to salvation here. But friends, Jesus came to save you from sin, to save you from death and eternal separation from God. That's why Jesus died, to save your life, to save the lives of everyone. Okay, the last word is you. You have a choice, and that's what you say. As you're sharing with someone, you have a choice to make. Going to church, believing in God, doing good things, those don't take away your sin. There's nothing you can do to be good enough to get to heaven. Jesus died for your sin. Here's the thing. If you could get to heaven by your good works, why did Jesus have to die? It was cruel of the Father to have his son die if we could work our way to heaven. Now, here's the important thing. Look at the bottom of your front of your first page. There's two things there that it says people need to receive. If they say, hey, I want to get to heaven, I want to become a Christian, they need to receive two things: Christ's forgiveness and Christ's leadership. Okay? His forgiveness. Jesus, I know I've sinned. You died for my sin. Please forgive me. But it's not just forgive me and I go on my way and I do what I want to do. It's also, Jesus, I receive you as my leader. We talked last week about, talk about Jesus as your forgiver and leader, not Savior and Lord, because people don't understand that. He's our leader. He's in charge of our life. So when people pray, ask them first to ask God to forgive them, and then just have them pray in their own words. I love to do that. Instead of having them repeat after me, I say, hey, I'm going to prompt you in a prayer, and you just kind of follow me, and then I'll have you pray in your own words. And I kind of open up by saying, Father, I thank you right now that as John and I have been talking, you've revealed to him his need for you and that you gave Jesus to die on the cross for his sin. Hear him now as he comes to you. John, go ahead in your own words. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. And then John he prays in his own words. When John kind of stops, you say, hey, that's great, John. Now ask Jesus to become the leader of your life, to take control. So John prays that in his own words. When it's done, you can say, Father, I thank you that John has given his life to you. You've heard him. I'm so glad for that. John, in your own words, thank God for saving you. John thanks God, and then you say, Lord, John's part of your family now. Help him to grow and to learn how to walk with you. Amen. That's how you lead someone to Christ. God, us, Jesus, you. Receive his forgiveness, receive his leadership. If you can memorize that, you can memorize the gospel. How many think you can do that? Yeah. Some of you say, I don't know. Practice 5 minutes a day. On the inside, go to the inside of your sheet. We give you some illustrations. I'm not going to really go into a lot of these on this one page, but sometimes people say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not really a sinner. Here's some illustrations to help you. One is a cake made with a rotten egg. How many of you would want to eat a cake made with rotten eggs? No takers. One person. Yeah, one of the kids. Yeah, I'll do it. Hey, why not? It's got all this great sugar and milk and flour and cocoa, vanilla, you know, whatever it is. Because one egg makes the whole cake rotten. And yet, here's the thing. Sometimes people think, well, yeah, I've got a few rotten eggs of sin in my life, but I've done a lot of good things, and they're going to present all the rotten eggs of their life to God and say, God, here's my cake, you can eat it. We wouldn't think of presenting someone a cake made with rotten eggs. God can't accept our lives filled with the rotten eggs of sin. That's an illustration. The illustration of three sins a day. Ask someone, how much on average do you think somebody sins a day? A lot of times they say 10, 20, 50 times. You know, if someone sins just three sins a day, they're not too bad of a person, are they? They probably agree with you. But if you sin three sins a day at the end of 365 days, that's over 1,000 sins a year. And if you live the normal lifespan, you can ask them how long you think a person normally lives, 70, 80 years. That's 70 to 80,000 sins you've committed? What would happen if a criminal stood before a judge with 70 to 80,000 crimes against the law? What's the judge going to do? It's either the death penalty or a life sentence. Either way, the person has no redeeming value. There needs to be a punishment. And here's the thing. A lot of us think with just a few sins in our life, we're good enough to present ourselves to God. And at a good person at three sins a day has 80,000. We are not good enough. We cannot work our way into heaven. You can't do it. Another illustration there is a rattlesnake bite. Hey, you can be the healthiest person, take the vitamins, eat all the right food, never eat Twinkies or drink Dr. Pepper, okay? But if you get bit by a snake, there's only one cure. What is it? Antivenom, yep. And there's a lot of people that say, well, I do a lot of good things. I take a lot of spiritual vitamins. I go to church. I pray. I believe in God. But there's only one antivenom, and that is, it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So you can use a rattlesnake bite. The last one there is a baseball illustration. A person can make the All-Baseball Hall of Fame by playing 5 years, by committing no errors, and by batting 1,000. In other words, they got to be perfect. Is that possible, baseball players? No. And just as that's not possible, we can't get into heaven. So those are some illustrations. Now, how do you present the God, us, Jesus, you? I'm going to give you a few keys here. One is do versus done. If someone asks you, Craig, what's the, I'm not into religion, or what's the difference between Christianity and all the world religions? Between, you know, Mormonism, between Islam, between Buddhism, Confucianism, Hindu, whatever. Basically, there's two words that can do this, okay? All the world religions can be defined in the word do. It's what you do. If you do enough good works, you can get to heaven. The problem with this, you never know when you've done enough. It's like a salesman being given a quota. You got to sell so many, but I'm not going to tell you how many you have to sell. It's impossible because you don't know how much you have to do to get into heaven. That's how all the world religions are spelled. But Christianity is spelled with the word done, D-O-N-E. It's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We're sinners. We need to be saved. We can't do enough to get to heaven. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do. He lived a perfect, sinless life, and then he died on the cross for us. Do versus done. Another way to share it is Romans Road. This way is good for people that want to know, show me in the Bible, how do I get to heaven? Because I always thought being a good person got me to heaven. You just need to memorize three verses out of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:13. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is Jesus. Is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 10:13, whoever you, if you call on the name of the Lord, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Now, here's the thing. That term, Lord, it's a Bible term that means master or boss. It's not just that you believe in God, but you are making Jesus the boss of your life, the master of your life. And if you make Jesus the boss and master of your life, you can get to heaven. Three simple verses from Romans chapter 6 and chapter 10. Another one is ABC. How do you get to heaven? It's simple as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died for you. And C is confess your sin and confess Jesus as your leader. That's another way. You say, Craig, why are you doing all these different presentations? Because here's the thing. One of these ways will work for you. What is the easiest one that works for you? What's the easiest one that works for you? Use the one that works. God can help you be a witness. There is a final one, and it's on your back page. And this is probably one of my favorites because it's visible. And a lot of times when you just talk about things, they don't see it. But when you give visuals, and here's the thing, when you're in a restaurant, you can write it on a napkin. If you're in class or at a conference or at work with someone, take a piece of copy paper or of notebook paper and you can write it on there. You can do this even when you're on the beach or when you're camping. You can write it in the sand or write it in the dirt. You can write it anywhere, okay? And it's something that's called the bridge, all right? It starts out, and I'm going to let you draw. So grab your pen out of the back of your seat. I want you to draw this, okay? Because if you don't draw this, you won't have a complete illustration. They're going, what in the world was that again? I don't remember. So draw with me here, okay? How many art students we have? Okay? All the rest of you, you can do this. You don't have to be an artist. Trust me, I'm not an artist and I can do it, okay? So here we go. You start out and notice it's blank, and you start out with God. And you can say, God loves us. First 2 points. This falls in great with the 4 points of the gospel that we talked about. God loves us. He cares about us. He wants to have a relationship with us. However, God is also holy. That means he's absolute perfect and he's just, that he has to punish any wrongdoing. And we're in deep weeds because all of us have sinned and our sin separates us. Go to the second box now. And you're going to draw this line. It's like a canyon. Our sin separates us from God so that we can't have a relationship with him. We can't go to heaven. Now, the next thing you want to talk about, a lot of times people, they have a sense of this space, of this gap, of this separation between them and God, and they try many good things to get to heaven. And you don't have to write these down. You can just kind of draw a line up here. They try good works. They try going to church, praying, giving to charity. They try all these good things, but the Bible tells us that all of our righteous works, they're like filthy rags, and they all fall short. None of these get us across to a relationship with God. And you say, now go to the next box, and you're going to come down here, and at the bottom, kind of near the bottom, you're going to write the word death. And you say, to make matters worse, when we die, we are separated from God for eternity in hell. And you can say, up to this point, it doesn't sound very good because there's nothing we can do to get to heaven on our own. But here's the good news. Jesus, God loved us so much, and he saw our dilemma of death, that he sent Jesus Christ, his only son. And you can write in Jesus if you want, or you can just draw a simple cross. God sent Jesus to die, and when he did, Jesus took our death penalty. Draw an X across death. Jesus took our death penalty out of the way. And here's the thing. Knowing this isn't enough. You have a choice to make. And draw a stick figure right here. And say, this is where you're at today, and you have to make the choice if you're going to cross over the bridge to the other side going through Jesus. And every person has to make that choice. Just because your parents were Christians don't mean you get to heaven. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you get to heaven. You have to make the choice. How do you cross over? You have to receive two things. What do you think those two things are? It's the bottom of the front page. Forgiveness. And this is, you want to write the word forgiveness on there. Write it on there. And what's the second thing you need to receive? Leadership. When you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I realize you died for me. I need to confess my sin. And my life is a mess. I turn from my sin. I want to turn to you. I want you to be in charge of my life. When you accept Christ's forgiveness and leadership, that's how you cross over. And then you can say to them, Where do you see yourself here today? Maybe you'd say, man, Craig, you know what? I am right here on the edge. I'm ready to cross over. Maybe you'd say, I'm way back here. I'm saying, Craig, shut up and leave me alone. Or maybe you'd say, I don't know, I'm kind of somewhere here in the middle. This is new to me. I haven't really heard this before, and I'm not sure if I'm ready to make Christ my forgiver and my leader. I need some time to think about it. Where do you see yourself today? And then you let him talk, you let him respond, and you see what God does. And this morning, I pose that question to you. Where do you see yourself today?
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.